Sekina.
Welcome to Rock and Roll Tennis, the new tennis podcast with your host, Keith Fraser. Yes, that's me. And my psychic and former British number one, Mr. John Lloyd. Welcome to another edition of Rock and Roll Tennis. I am on my own again this week. I'm sorry, guys. I know, obviously, you look forward to the Bronze Adonis. He's probably on his way back to Florida from being the captain of the San Diego Aviators in World Team Tennis. So fingers crossed we'll have him back next week. Do you know, I haven't spoken to him for a few weeks and I'm looking forward to catching up with him. But, you know, I've done my best to get things exciting for you. Whilst John Flossy Lloyd has been away, and this week is no exception. What a great guy we've got on. One of my favourite players of all time. The man with such enormous style. The man who played with style, with a smile. Brazil's icon, if you like. Perhaps the second biggest sporting icon after Pelé. He is three-time French Open champion, former number one in the world. The great Gustavo Kuerten. Let's go and listen to the interview. It's kind of surreal. I'm talking to a tennis legend. And I have to say, when I was growing up, McEnroe was always my idol, if you like. But this man definitely, in my adult years, so to speak, I always used to love watching him play. And it is an absolute pleasure to be speaking to him from Brazil, in his office, I think, in Florianapolis. You probably guessed it. He is former world number one, everybody's hero in Brazil and around the world. It is, of course, Gustavo Kuerten.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. Thanks for your words. And we tried to make it happen, this conversation. I had my children's and facing a lot of events during past 2 weeks. But we all assured that we will happen out. And now we are here, ready, Brazilian time, 5 o'clock sharp, to get our...
Well, it's, you know what, Guga, it's interesting. I've met many celebrities, and I have met many top athletes, tennis players. And this is the first time we've met, so to speak, and we're speaking on Skype. And after speaking over these last few weeks, I have to say that you actually come across exactly as you are perceived, as a good guy, down to earth. And I understand why you were the French crowd's absolute sort of darling. I mean, how did you feel about the fact that everybody loved you? Yeah. I mean, people tend to like the opposite. These days, people say there's not enough personalities in tennis. Everybody's talking about Nick Kyrgios, who is the complete opposite to you. Why is it people loved you so much?
It's because of you, not because of me. You choose to love me. I do the small part, just survive, breathe, and smile. And then you guys, you just bring it on this way of appreciation. I believe, of course, the passion about the game, the line of my building tennis life, more than the career, it's connected with my father, very young, and then ended up losing him inside the tennis court in my first steps, somehow getting able to drive across and with a great strength of my mother, of course, build up our power again on the three children. One, my handicapped brother, was 5 years old. I was 8 and my brother 11. So this experience gave us hopes for the future, you know, even knowing that was the toughest moment you can ever live as a human being and as a child. But once you get through one day, month, year, and then after, you know you can go along. You understand that you need the hope and the guts to build your energy. So these circumstances linked me to Larry to develop a tennis career. We never understand and never realized that there is a tennis professional when I was 8, 10, 12, 14 years old, until the game, the day I finally went to Europe and visit French Open for the first time. I was already 15. Then I understand a little bit what, and a little bit and everything, what is the tennis professional. Until that stage, for me, playing tennis was going out there with my friends, being outside here or either Brazil and then 14 in South America. But there's no any other professional tennis player in 500 kilometers from where I live, from where I born. So this was more genuine, you know, to build the relation, the connection about tennis that Larry helped me to learn, to love tennis beyond everything. And then from that, open my eyes and start to connect my goals to my dreams. You know, where we want to go, how deep we should push, and somehow we create and we pass by very difficult challenges that gave us a lot of survival, a lot of resistance for the future. So once I got there, it was much more a dream come true, another day in the paradise than losing winning match, than having troubles, forehand, backhand, or whatever, and a lot of argues that it's a human being flavor, you know, it happens to everyone, and with us at the top level, it happened 24/7, off, on and on, non-stop. So this part was consequence and the things that I normally deal with, the goals and the challenges I had in my mind, but the success and the already the accomplishment was much beyond, was already a celebration time for us. So for me, I didn't need to convince myself to be happy. I was very satisfied, and I was living my gold years on that time. I know there is a lot of work to do. It is very hard. There is many commitments, a lot of responsibility. But I believe life, it's based on this. You know, every path that you choose, you find relations like that. And the way I was created too and educated gave me already reasons enough to understand that this is the basis that I needed to fulfill. That's my human being.
You are not only an incredible tennis player, but your story is probably one of the most inspiring in sport, because you had a couple of tragedies in your life, and many people would have been affected negatively by those tragedies, by the sad passing of your father on a tennis court, and of course your brother. Many people, we live in a world where mental health is a big subject, certainly in England. I don't know if it is in Brazil. So, but people like yourself are an inspiration. You are somebody who's done what you've done in spite of what you've been through, rather than because of, yeah? And would you say that because of those tragedies that you faced when you were on court, you realized ultimately it was just tennis, it was just a game that you loved to play, and therefore could play with more sort of joy and freedom that everybody really remembers you for?
I guess connected with philosophy. The way you approach life, you know, it's that's 80%, 90% of our life, we cannot control what's going to happen next day. But we can decide how to deal with it. So this is how my life could be upside down one way to the other, and somehow we ended up being successful at the tennis court. To be a great champion, you need to solve problems. You need to feel the problem to be able to solve. You cannot just understand like that and realize and get and make it real. So you have to pass by and be anxious, how to manage to support and somehow make it simple and simple as the gods of the today's Federer's, Rafa and Novak, that they do these circumstances very simple because it's already so hard. It's very difficult to make it. And if you think too much, if you make a big history, it goes big. So it got to be a way of put yourself to the risk, you know, put yourself to flavor, get involved, and enough by having all your power, energy, commitment, your life, determinate to make it. This is a typical interview of sportsmen around the world. I did my best. I will try to do my best. But that's what we do. We go there and we understand that we're going to run until the last point. And somehow we believe that we're going to be successful and we're going to win. But it's not like this all the time.
But here's the thing, Guga. I just wanted, sorry to interrupt you. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because of what you went through, maybe because I'm only putting the idea, you played with a tremendous kind of style, tremendous freedom, if you like, to express yourself, which is very common in Brazilian sport. Brazilian football is like that. But would you say that because of what you went through, you realized that at the end of the match, you shouldn't, you can't, I don't know how disappointed you were when you did lose, but you thought, you know what, I lost a tennis match. I've been through a lot harder. Was that reduction in pressure because of that? Did that allow you to be able to play with a greater freedom that other players perhaps don't?
I think our history gave us capacity or either rejection over circumstances and experience. So again, it's if I could choose, I would write a different story about many, many episodes of my life.
Sure.
But it's like, that's what it is, you know. This is the things that we cannot change. And somehow, if I can take this path and build potential and build strength over these lines, it give me a better musculature to win matches or to be successful in a tennis or in an athlete's life. So this is how, at the end, what makes the difference. It's everyone is in your single history. They understand and they have already this amount of experience to build up a way of support and go over. Support and go over. Daily and monthly, yearly, or even worst match in the life, big disappointment, doesn't matter if in the sports or in real life, you have this inside your body that make you believe. After I got injury, I was already only 25 years old. Until 28, I played quite well, and then after all, was impossible to compete anymore. And still hopes, still dreams, and life, and many, I hope more than 60 years to joy. So this is what I think it's different, you know, it's how you visualize and face your destiny, your routines and what happened to your life normally. I don't really believe that because of these circumstances that I become a better tennis player. But it's true that living this helped me. And I was trying to build my potential on my history because it makes more sense for me. Mm. And I understand it's also the way I was born, the culture and everything, the relation I have with life, with people. So my history is very important. If I have tough days and sad days, it cannot be throwing away. It must be a solution and something, some adaptation to get you stronger, or to get it. I try to say, sorry about my English. No,
listen, my Portuguese is nothing.
Not so easy if I have to find all these words. But I try to say in Portuguese, it's sometimes ruim, how I say the
bad.
What tough, and it doesn't mean bad, you know. Sometimes it's very tough, it's very hard, and it's very
it
sad.
Strengthens you.
But it doesn't mean that it's all bad. Sometimes a sad day, it can turn on in some memory that is affective, that is emotional, that help you to breathe and to appreciate more your opportunity to survive, on not only think about being a number one in the world. So these perceptions that it's much more way of looking than face through. Sometimes you drive and you don't feel anything. You just pass through, and doesn't matter. Perhaps will help you to be a better tennis player, because once you needed to be clean and a ice man steady, you'll be more ready to go. On my way, it was different. I need to be warm. I need to be connected, emotional, people, feeling. So I know it will be a big picture of work and of effort to make through. At the end, every single piece has to be placed and the flavor in my favor. That's what I try to do until these days on. Sometimes you wake up and it's not so easy. That's this. There's rain only in your hair, you know. It's someone cross it. Oh, it's a strange day.
You want to try living in London, then you have to feel rain in your hair. Right?
Then we have a similar weather down here. But
okay.
Somehow I think we can dissipate this and you know, look around and change a little bit our spirit and energy to get flowing, to get more relaxed and alive. And that's what I choose to do as more than a tennis player, a human being, a father, a family, a brother, and a company. I like to live like this, free, liberty, you know, like not so much dependence on where I go, how to find.
No, I understand. You want to live with the freedom to enjoy the life that you've been given, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, though, Guga, because obviously many players have foundations now. But if there's one person who you get the drift, who really you can see that you have been a man of the people, if you like, and now you have your foundation, your institute, I want to hear a bit about what you're up to in that respect, because from what I know, you do tremendous work for the kids and so forth. Give the people out there some idea about what you're doing and all the projects you got.
Yeah, we will celebrate next year the 20th anniversary of our foundation.
Wow.
We've been working for a long term. And my mother is a social assistant from 14 years old to retirement and to keep it on now in our foundation. So is her vocation for life. And like that, we grow under these circumstances of her building up the family without the father and also a handicapped brother inside the family. That was our young brother, Guilherme, that passed away with 28.
Sure.
So every day was a good day to help someone inside our house, outside, ourselves, to relate it with these simple measures, but also very pure and magic. You get life very easy in the flavor of happiness, much
sure.
Easygoing on this experience. So when we were able to have all this success, it was natural to understand how we can help a little bit more. I remember very well, we launched a program to build a house for the handicapped orphanage. It took us around 9 months to get this built, around 8 or 12 people that we able to build a house for them to live down there. And when it end up, we looked to each other and said, what now? What are we going to do? So we decided to create the foundation. Over these 20 years, around 50,000 people that we help around our state of Santa Catarina. We work with handicapped children and kids with public schools. So we have two different programs. One is Champions of Life, that we give better opportunities and some... We take sports and humanity for the kids who study on this poor community in Brazil, and also with the handicapped people all around the states. Driving these 20 years gave us another experience to build more projects, more singular and punctual here and there, but basics in our two strong movements are on these areas, on having the kids a better support, having them to believe in themselves, to at least feel a little bit of attention. I think it's a main business back here in Brazil. We're not able to give at least 40% of the people a decent opportunity of build life and having hopes and dignity to their life. So we're helping with these 700 kids that we have under our programs, and to the handicaps that makes a lot of connection to our life. We go over the cities and help them to manage the financials, how to deal with them, foundation, and have also learning and capacitation of the guys, the technicians who work with the kids, give some support of transport, automobiles, or a gym room, gymnasium, what they need. So we go splitting around, but because we understand that's many very small cities that the government also can't arrive. They don't get there. It's too far away. It's a tiny city with 3,000 people, 4,500 people. So we go all the way. We've been in 188 different cities.
Around Brazil?
Around the state only. This is all in Santa Catarina.
Wow.
This is a very premium program that we have. And we did twice this lap over the state. We take around 40 to 50 projects every single year. The first turnaround took us 9 years, and on the second one we could do it in 5.5 years. We launched in the third roundup again. So we're building. We recycle our energy, we give back life, they give back us motivation, inspiration. Here in Brazil, it's very easy to understand these measures and these needs. You go outside, and even here, Florianópolis is a great city. It's a fascinating place, top class in the world. You come here, you get crazy, you want to live here. It's a paradise. But you go across the street, that's traffic, that's very non-take care kids. That is not life. It's not fair what happened to many families. In a city that's very, very privileged in Brazilian
state. Oh, really?
Yes. So it's common being. It's a part of our life. So if you open and you start to look at the side, in 5-10 minutes, you understand you need to help. And especially for us that we had opportunities, our chances, the challenges were hard, but we at least... We received the fair a ticket.
Can I ask you, Guga, with your programs like the orphanages? So do you have actual residential centers where they stay
We go over places that nobody uses. Then we find a place that is empty. We know that there are people around this area who need attendment. And we build a program to reactivate the center and get them to play. So it's our...
So who funds it then? Who funds it?
And then we go outside to
raise funds.
To try to increase our budget and money to take care of them. We had a very challenging for time once I stopped playing, the money went down. But as a institution, it was important because we got very mature. We were able to shrink and to make it more valuable every single real or pounds that we found across the street. So we make this become 5, 10, 20 times more. We get, my mother, it's a train machine. It's like a one full speed potential. She moves mountains and make it happen. So it's the foundation, it's much... On her, you know, we're trying to also planning on this dependence and how we can get alone and survive and plan for the next years, going a little bit away from her. But once we know she's around, it's gonna happen. We have solutions and we will find a way to keep it going. These days, there is an opportunity in Brazil with tax, so we are already, we have all the stamps that gave us credential to work on these programs in the Ministry of Sports. So we have a tax money that's more easy to find, but many of our projects also it's common money that we need to go door by door, by sponsor, by
sure.
We have royalties. I gave up my, the mini me, we call Guguinha, it's my cartoon. And we have like chocolate milk with Guguinha. We have things for babies, 5 or 6 different products on the market now that start to increase. that this go this money goes straight to the foundation.
Amazing, so amazing.
All this, we decide from the last year to give this to the foundation. So all the money who comes from this personage, from this cartoon, we go straight to the foundation. So like this, we getting better every single day. Like we were talking before, it's you know, this balance, responsibility with opportunity, to maintain yourself close to the people, helping to, it's very few. If you're counting all Brazil, we are already 220 massive. Million. But we help every single year around 4,000-5,000 people. And they know we are helping. So many people getting stimulated and get starting because we are doing. I'm sure Brazil is still going, standing up and surviving because of these initiatives. We need to have a better reality for the future. But these days, I think this counts a lot for us to at least save a little and continuing pushing forward the hopes for the future.
Well, I think I think it's fantastic what you do. Look, there are many players who have foundations and so forth, but I mean, I've heard it said before, but there's no doubt that, and I can see when you talk about it, the enthusiasm you have to help others, and it's very, very inspiring, Guga. Very inspiring indeed. But and obviously, what with your standing as a tennis legend, and
what's important, Keith, is that I have a lot of good people in around of me.
Of course.
As I'm talking to you now, I can see this very clear because I'm passionate, I'm enthusiastic in this. But yeah. I'm this soul, you know. I push, but I'm not the daily working and making. So that's a lot of people, and I have two awesome people in my family, my mother, my brother, that they managed to build this, to put this right for me to still helping to get around. So this is important for the guys also who wants to get this themselves foundation going on, business going on, find good people, you know, being around of trust, human beings, being very aware of your decisions, and if you really believe in what you're doing, it's gonna perform, it's gonna happen. We are already in the foundation, we are already 60 people that turning 30, it's steady, and 30 change year by year. So we have like stagiaries, people who come for 6 months or maximum 1 year, they come from the university. We had probably 30 by 20, 600 of these kids, you know. The first ones, they are already my age, 38, 40. But some kids now are 20, 22, 24 years old, 600 of these. Again, develop and creating. So that's the idea, you know. That's what I think this big change that will give us a great answer in the future.
Just coming back to you though, Guga, and of course, speaking to you, you've won the French Open 3 times. I witnessed the last time I saw you play live was against Federer at Roland Garros.
2004.
You beat him. That was incredible because I remember saying to a friend of mine, it was a year after Federer won Wimbledon. I said Guga's going to win this, and actually you scored Federer in that game. But looking at the game today, I you were the clay court king those years ago. You're now seeing Rafa winning 12 French Opens. How much would you love to have been around now to play him on clay?
No. I was staying with nothing. lucky I had my time. I born earlier.
You don't fancy your chances against him on clay then?
No. I guess it would be a very excited moments of life. Would be more than a match for me to be there dealing with him on the tennis court. One thing I'm sure, he will force me to play much better than I did. I don't know how far I could go, but I got to a stage that something happened and I had to deal with a different challenge. I went back, start to search and until find it. So that I will try the solution ever and ever and ever. That's the mentality I was creating. I create and build with Larry from the 13 years old to the 18, 20, and then, of course, being better and better on my golden age. So if you talk to me like that, like, I have to imagine myself facing him and finding a way to beat him. That's the only way my head works. And that's how fair I understand it will, at least being real with the question, is I will definitely play much better than I was playing at the time. If I have conditions to play him, it will be after the, 26, 28, and until the 28 to 33, 35 years old. I will be normally much better than I was. I didn't have the time to play my best tennis. My physical condition didn't allow me. But also, it's my reality. Perhaps I didn't have the capacity to play that much. In my mind, everything was very clear. I will have the shots. I knew what to do it, but somehow it didn't work out. Against Rafa, I'm sure the way he thinks is the way I do in the other side of the court. He does 10 times more and over and over, and it's a kind of persistence and a clock, like English watch. That's not, I did not have this potential. I will have to find another way to face him. I had to be much more emotional, pressures in the right time, create new plays, and but in my mind I navigate already. I know I don't have the body to go. But
there's one guy though, Guga. There's one guy who you did beat on more occasions than he beat you, and I actually think had he not retired at such a young age and perhaps mentally become fragile, I think he would have given Rafa a real tougher time on clay, and that's Guillermo Coria. I think. You beat him on clay a few times, didn't you?
Yes. And also, Corey, in the beginning when Rafa was starting, I remember, I was having a lot of trouble already, but Corey was supporting him and beating him on the beginning. He had this trouble on the French Open final, was never end up to really come back in the same level. But as I said, as Corey, as myself, once you have it's life, so it count on suppositions, count on what could be. It's not our life. If you get real on base tennis and sports, we have to throw all this out and stick with the measures. No, Rafa, 12 titles. It's impossible. Nobody will guess. You can. It's lucky that it's on movie. It's in film, because if you talk to someone, it's not a human being capacity of able to be so much successful. This is it's from another world, and it is there.
Sure.
It's him. So it is the impossible becoming possible on his measures of accomplishment. And that's not me. It's much away. It's not only four times. It's 10 times better than me. But as I told to you, once you born and you build to compete, to become a champion, doesn't matter.
You find a way.
He can be 1,000 times better than you, and you will get there, and you try, and you find a way to win, to be the guy, or today, or the next day, or when it happened, until the last time that you shake his hand and you don't have any more chance. But your mind doesn't allow you to think differently.
Have you ever fancied coaching?
No, I try to coach, but as a human being back home, the two kids, my daughter,
and,
but not as a tennis player. Just at home, it's already a very interesting and chaotic. Sometimes you have to deal with all the new circumstances and a lot of learning. But to go out in the tour already, the first question I throw it, the opportunity out. I don't want to go away. I don't want to be too much in the front of the court. We helping the kids here. We have a program different than foundation. We have a franchising of tennis school that calls Guga Tennis School. We have 52 schools around Brazil. The project for next year is getting close to 65 to 70. We have from amateurs and kids 1 day a week to every single day, and also a team and a competitions, tennis all over Brazil that we support. But I'm trying to build more characters, more people to be protagonists, and myself trying to go the backstage and try to help them in to build knowledge and to build human being capacity, not only tennis players, coaches, professors, so a good environment of tennis. This is what we're trying to do.
Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer, Guga. It's been great talking to you. I want to ask you just a couple more things. First of all, what's your favorite moment? Because would you were holding the flame, weren't you? The Olympic flame in the Rio Olympics.
Yes,
how a moment was that in comparison to winning the French Open?
As a I don't know, the word would be accomplishment. For the athlete was the best in my life. First, because Olympics, I born dreaming on being there, and I never imagined to be able to carry the flame and finally getting to the stadium in my home country. It's different, than you being a very successful athlete in England or Germany or United States, and it's gonna happen. You have the opportunity to be around, perhaps not this single moment, but some connection with this. But for start, to have an opportunity to host the Olympic game was already a singular time to be part.
I can see by your face it was really it was your proudest moment.
Once I understand what is all of this, my life and the dedication of our family, everybody who put together energy to live on these circumstances and these hopes and plans, once you are looking around this 30 seconds, 1 minute to go in, it's very strong, until now. I can remember, and it's the accomplishment of life as an athlete. If I would choose for a tennis player, it would be the day I draw the heart against Michael Russo in this fourth round match, also not very important match, but the most emotional in singular moment, I flavor on the court, at the court, for sure. So it's again very fortunate, you know, to having somehow rainbows
wow.
showing up in your life. So this was the both and the two symbolic moments that's very easy to transmit and to tell to the people how this connected myself to everything and all single piece and small movement that helped me to get to this final moment.
It was amazing. In fact, when we had the Olympics in London, for me, I just went to a local street when they were bringing the flame through the streets. I just happened to be, you know, lining the streets and seeing the flame. But for you, you were in the opening ceremony holding the flame. It's an amazing story.
And the Maracanã is our great Olympics.
I've been there.
Of the sport. So
yeah.
The Brazilian crowd, you know how it is. They are, they have, and full of energy. This is a particular and singular moment, you know, for any human being life. This is very precious. It's beyond.
It makes your hairs stand up, doesn't it? I can see you pointing to it, you know.
This is beyond the tennis court, the titles. It's very transcendental.
Of course. One last thing, Guga. We're both big football fans. And I know you support your local team from Florianópolis.
Yes, Avaí.
Avaí, okay. Well, they're going to be my second team after Corinthians now. But of course, my team in England is Arsenal. But I think what I want to ask you is this, because I've asked, there's a big debate. We've talked about great tennis players. Who is the greatest footballer of all time?
Pelé.
I knew you'd say that.
Come on, 1,000, and we miss the account of goals and go from everywhere, all around, and he's...
We're going to have to disagree there, Guga, because I grew up thinking that I've never seen a player like Diego Maradona.
Okay, but that's the good part of life. Everyone with your perception, and of course, it makes sense... It has to be the best for you. For me, our way to convince ourselves that we could be successful was soccer.
Yeah. And did you play soccer, by the way? Did you play football?
I played, but until 12, 13 years old. And here we have enough of competition.
What position did you play?
I play, but on our state, we play indoor soccer. It's not...
Okay.
And that time it was only indoor on the area here, so it's only four players. I used to play here as central or right wing, but much more as a kid, liking to travel and compete with the friends, because tennis is very singular, you know, you individual sport. So once I travel with all the team, it makes a fun and a lot of sense. Than any hopes, but my dreams, even playing tennis, sometimes I wake up with 16, 18 years old, dreaming scoring a goal in Maracanã. That's normal for us in Brazil. So playing together with, also Zico, for me it's a great character, helped in the era of Flamengo on that time, they end up being a world champion against Liverpool. 81, I believe,
yeah.
Was a great...
I thought Ronaldinho also was a great talent.
Yes,
Ronaldinho.
And then after, I was more related to them as a sport idol, as a friend. But at the beginning, that's the hopes you need, you know. And our hopes, we didn't like have. We had Oscar Schmidt from the basket and Hortensia. Mm. We don't have too much flavor on examples to build on sports. So Pelé, Zico, and then Romário, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho. This what gave us more credit to believe that we could be a good sport. Doesn't matter if tennis, but if somehow Brazil can be champion, I'm as Brazilian, will have my chance too.
Well, when you come to London, as long as it's not during Wimbledon because it's not the season, if you let me know, I will take you to the home of football in London here.
Okay.
I'll take you to Arsenal to see some proper football, all right?
Right, okay. Perhaps.
And when I come to Florianapolis, you can take me to see your team.
Yeah, we go to Havaí. Perhaps we have a newcomer from Havaí. I'll let you know in advance for you to
That would be good. That would be good. Say, listen, Guga, I could talk to you all day. I genuinely could. I think, first of all, the person fits the reputation. Ever since we started speaking, I could see immediately, you know, what a good guy you are. The work you do in Brazil is admirable. You are an inspiration to tennis fans, but just people generally. And I congratulate you. And it's really been great talking to you on this interview. And I hope we can talk again at some point as well. Thank you so much. Well, that is a really great guy. One of my all-time favourite players, but also he's a great human being, a lovely bloke, and I completely understand why he's so popular around the world and certainly was the darling of the French Open fans. And, Guga, thanks so much for coming on. And, yeah, next week, hopefully, the Bronze Adonis, Flossie, as they call him, will be back. So, watch out, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for putting up with me on my Todd, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Please remember to press that subscribe button and share with all your friends. You can also follow us on Twitter, RNR_tennis, and of course on Instagram, rock'n'roll_tennis. And please leave us a review. We'd love to hear your comments. We will, of course, see you next week, as always. Thanks so much again.